Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Kelsey Harkness of Heritage Foundation. She is a senior news producer for The Daily Signal. She wrote an article recently on Supreme Court Justice's dire warning for those who value religious freedom. Kelsey, welcome so much to Vocal Point.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, so the justice in question was Samuel Alito, one of the better justices, in my humble opinion. But tell us about his warning and why it came about.
Yeah, so Alito was dissenting in a case out in Washington State where a family-run pharmacy was being forced by the state to provide abortive patients drugs like Plan B that they believe contribute to the death of a child. This family who owns the pharmacy, they're Christians and they are very pro-life, and they didn't want to provide Plan B, so they would refer their customers who requested that drug to a pharmacy nearby. And this case, the lawyers for this pharmacy were hoping that the Supreme Court would hear this case. And the Supreme Court justices ruled that they wouldn't. And Justice Alito, in his dissent, said, and I quote, "If this is a sign of how religious liberty claims will be treated in the years ahead, those who value religious freedom have cause for great concern." He is basically concerned that the government decided not to hear a case that the Supreme Court decided not to hear a case where the government was forcing a family-run pharmacy to abandon their religious beliefs and provide abortifacients that, you know, really, that really goes against the core of their religious beliefs.
You know, it's interesting that the, you know, the Hobby Lobby case, the Little Sisters of the Poor, and so forth, so much of it gets back to these, I guess, four types of abortion-inducing drugs, including Plan B, that being one of them, that are at the height of the center of so much of this controversy. And the left doesn't seem to understand that you cross a line when you go from contraception into something that would essentially be an abortion-inducing drug.
I think you're right, and what a lot of people don't realize about this case is that this law requiring pharmacies to provide abortifacients is very unique to Washington State. In fact, no other state in the country has a law like this, because if you think about it, how many drugs are there out in the market? The government can't require pharmacies to provide every single drug that exists. It's just not possible. So pharmacies are allowed to not carry all different kinds of drugs for all different kinds of reasons. But in this case, Washington State basically targeted pharmacies of religious beliefs and said, well, if you're denying because of your religious beliefs, well, then that's illegal. And it's really a strange law, and I think that's why Justice Alito, he actually, in his dissent, he wrote that it appears that Washington State is specifically targeting people of faith when they created this law. There's also evidence that this pharmacy had test shoppers who were affiliated with Planned Parenthood, who were the ones who are actually asking for Plan B, that it wasn't even their regular customers. So there's just, in his opinion, a lot wrong with this case. And so for the Supreme Court not to hear it, not to even hear it, you know, it's not even like they ruled against it. They're just not hearing it. I think Justice Alito thought it was a cause for great concern.
Well, one of the things you pointed out in your article is this. Alito was joined in his dissent by Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Clarence Thomas, falling one justice short of the four needed for the court to accept a case. Well, in a very real sense, Kelsey, this may be the very first example where Scalia is being missed. Because even if you say, well, what about that case involving the Texas, the abortion case? Well, Anthony Kennedy, that decision was 5-3. And if Scalia had still been alive, it would have been 5-4. But here, Scalia's absence was directly missed. And this could well be the first direct example of Scalia's absence causing an anti-pro-life conclusion on the court.
Yes, you're exactly right there, and it does it makes you wonder. I've also covered the issue of physician-assisted suicide, where people who have a terminal illness ask for a prescription for a drug that that kills them. And obviously, a lot of doctors, a lot of pharmacists would have huge moral and ethical problems with providing that sort of drug, if you can even call it that. And this case makes you question what's going to happen with different kind of cases involving life in a different context. And again, it's just not a good sign for both people of faith and also people who might just object to the whole concept of physician-assisted suicide.
It shows you how important the coming election is in terms of the president and also senators in particular, because the president will be the one nominating judges and justices to the Supreme Court, and then, of course, the Senate will be confirming or rejecting.
It certainly does. I think we saw that this term, both with this case and some of the others you mentioned, the Texas abortion safety case. I think that Alito is these types of dissents are only going to be more common if a Democrat is elected in the fall.
Okay, now in this particular case, this is really kind of, in some ways, if the left had this kind of story and had the kind of conclusion that they wanted, they would have loved this story because it's really a heartwarming story, but with a horrible conclusion. This is a family-run business, and now everything's virtually going up in smoke if they want to retain their conscience, which, of course, is more important than any worldly goods and worldly success. Tell us the story itself. This is a family-run business.
Well, it is interesting because you've seen the left stick up for a number of personal cases where perhaps you have someone who is Muslim who doesn't want to do something in their business because of their faith. And this case is a little bit different than these, cases involving bakers not wanting to make a cake for a same-sex wedding, because you have an argument there that you are personally harming someone. But they actually found in this case with the family-run pharmacy that there are around 30 pharmacies within the area that women would be able to get Plan B. So the question in these cases is it necessary? Does the government have a compelling interest to force a family-run pharmacy to violate their religious beliefs? And a compelling interest might be, well, this pharmacy is in the middle of nowhere, and if a woman needed it, Plan B, she would have to travel 100 miles to go get that. But in this case, that is not what's going on here. It is accepted as fact that this Plan B and other drugs like that are available right around the corner. So this case is really a matter of forcing this family-run pharmacy, which has been run by the same family for three generations
since
now,
1944.
To violate their religious beliefs. Yeah.
And so let me ask you this. Does the family, I mean, I don't mean to make a bad pun, but does the family have a Plan B since now the Supreme Court's ruled against them?
Well, so the family, I think they were hesitant to say what exactly they're going to do, because I can't imagine being in that position. They don't want to completely shut down. Their pharmacy is in a local grocery store, and I think they would consider possibly shutting down the pharmacy. Maybe they'll wait to see if customers really are requesting Plan B, if they have to deal with that request and actually do the job of dispensing it. I'm not sure what exactly they plan to do. They're definitely looking at their options right now, but I'll say there were two other pharmacists involved in this lawsuit that didn't receive as much attention, but one of them is named Margot, and Margot has been a pharmacy for quite some time now, and she told me, I met her out in Washington State, she told me that she would quit her job before violating her religious beliefs by handing someone plan B. So she, right now, I confirmed it before I wrote the story, mm-hmm. she is ready to leave her job.
And you've got a picture of her right here, Margot Thielen, another pharmacist in Washington State. And really, wow, what an amazing story. But it's so tragic. But now let me ask you this. And this is for the wider case. Okay, the particular for these people in Washington State, it stinks. Okay, but here's the wider picture. The Supreme Court receives about, and this is an old statistic, it's probably out of date, but I remember reading many years ago, they receive about 8,000 cases a year. They can only deal with about 100 cases out of those 8,000. That means that those lower court decisions a lot of times are what the precedent is going to be, or that's what's going to stand. Okay, so is it possible that one could read too much into the idea that the Supreme Court chose not to have this particular case be one of the 100 or so that they're going to look at versus the 8,000 or whatever that they, you know, receive every year? Does that make sense?
I think it's fair to say that, and I also think it's worth pointing out the fact that Alito, Justice Alito, took the time to write this whole dissent. That means he cared enough about this case to address it and to bring some attention to it. But I do think that the Supreme Court is going to be forced to face more of these questions in the coming in the coming years, whether it involves a bakery, whether it involves a pharmacy. But I think you're onto something there. Maybe there's a reason why they didn't accept this particular one. But I don't think this issue is going anywhere, and we will see similar cases pop up in the future. I'll just tell you, after having met the owners of this pharmacy and grocery store, I can't imagine what they are dealing with right now, because I think a lot of Americans maybe don't understand how closely some people hold their faith to them. And this family in Washington State, really their lives revolve around their faith. And so I think this is something that personally is really going to deeply affect them in the way that they can run their business, which is a part of their life. As I mentioned, this business has been in the family for three generations. So it's more than just a job to them.
In the medical field, historically, the ethic from the Greek whose name escapes me, you know, the old, I will do no harm, you know, you forgot his name, but, you know, you have that whole idea that medicine is there to heal, not to kill. In fact, Dr. Krautheimer, who's a, you know, a commentator and so forth, and he said, you know, where do you draw the line? Okay, you can draw the line ethically in terms of medicine that kills versus medicine that heals. And in a very real way, I mean, let's face it, all those abortion-inducing drugs would be one aspect of killing, or even more so that suicide-type pill you mentioned.
Yes, I think that's an interesting point, and I think this only elevates the question. I believe there's a hearing come up in the House with the question of whether or not you can force Catholic doctors to perform abortions. It appears that there's a strategy on the left to force doctors to provide abortions and to force pharmacists to provide Plan B. And I think that the left will argue that if you're a doctor and you don't want to provide this procedure, then you're discriminating against the women. And I think that a lot of these doctors and pharmacists and people in this profession are going to have a big problem with that. And I think there's going to be an interesting conversation coming up in the coming months.
Your material, including this article, can be seen at thedailysignal.com, correct?
Yes, dailysignal.com, and you can follow me on Twitter, Kelsey J. Harkness.
Okay, thank you so much, Kelsey. Keep up the great work. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.